presenting the Mirth Parade. Don Wilson as the drum major. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. This time we lift the receiver, ask for the wrong number, and get the right one for a change. Because this edition of the Jolly Old Mirth Parade is dedicated to the little ladies of the switchboard, the telephone operators. Which reminds me of the telephone operator who spent her entire vacation riding horses. She said that she couldn't stay away from the plugs.
Wrong number. That's all I ever get. Wrong number. I hang up with regret. Why must my heart ache? Each time the phone bell rings, it's just a mistake. Wrong number. And then the voice is gone. I wonder, how long will this go on? Is my life forever to be a wrong number to me?
Mr. Wilson, did you know I was studying to be a telephone operator?
Why, Sylvia Pickard, no. Why do you have to study to become a telephone operator?
Oh, it's the funniest thing. We have to study ancient Chinese numerology.
Now, let me get this straight, Sylvia. You have to study ancient Chinese numerology to become a telephone operator?
Uh-huh. We have to study long numbers.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I get it.
But, you know, Mr. Wilson, I'm so mad.
Well, now, what's the matter, Sylvia?
Well, you know that little closet with the black thing in it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just outside the door? Well, I've been gypped.
What do you mean to tell me you've been gypped? Don't tell me that the telephone booth is out of order.
Oh, is that a telephone booth? Oh, my. No wonder, Mr. Wilson. You know, Central said, number, please. And I said, number, nothing. I put a nickel in here and I want my chewing gum.
But, Sylvia, didn't you used to be a telephone operator?
Yeah, but they fired me.
Oh, that's too bad. What for?
Oh, one day I gave three people the right number.
Now let's see how much you know about telephone calls. What do you get when you drop 10 cents in the phone box?
Oh, a Pasadena.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you get when you drop 15 cents in one?
15 cents. Mm-hmm. Arcadia.
Right again. Now what do you get if you drop in a quarter?
Let me see. Oh, a Santa Ana, of course.
Say, you're pretty smart at that, aren't you? But what do you get if you drop a dollar in one?
Heart failure.
Well, I guess you're right at that, Sylvia. Since you're so smart, see if you can tell me this. What was the telephone number of the Garden of Eden?
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, is it easy?
Yeah, the telephone number of the Garden of Eden is Adam 281 Apple.
All right.
But, you see, I know all about telephones. On account of my brother Hubert even married a telephone operator.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't very successful.
Oh, that's too bad.
She was always giving him the wrong number.
Now, what do you mean, Sylvia, always giving him the wrong number?
Well, you see, Hubert expected her to give him a fine baby boy. And instead, she presented him with triplets.
The wrong number. Well, maybe we'd better skip that one. Doesn't your sister work for the telephone company, too?
Oh, yes, she does. And say, she meets some of the nicest boys there. You know, the other night, one of them took her for a ride in his beautiful Packard car. They went to Pomona.
Oh, yes, to Pomona, uh-huh. And that's where she made her big mistake?
Oh, no. That was at Wilmington.
Ha, ha, ha. Well, Sylvia says that if the phone company gets bankrupt, the court won't have to appoint a receiver. And now here are Brown and Lavelle. They used to be telephone operators, but also were detected in the act of giving the right number and are now unemployed. Brown and Lavelle, ladies and gentlemen.
Honey, what did that telephone operator want when she called you up this morning?
Oh, she said she was looking for someone to lend her $10.
Well, what did you tell her?
I said it was a nice day for it.
Always trying to be funny, aren't you?
Thank you, dear.
Yeah, life to you is just one grand sweet refrain, isn't it?
Well, how could it be otherwise? You keep telling me to refrain from doing this and to refrain from doing that. You never talked that way before we were married.
Didn't talk what way?
Well, before we were married, you said you'd go through fire and water for me.
Yeah, but I didn't say I'd go through bankruptcy for you.
Listen, you know, I've solved the whole financial problem of this country.
Well, that's ridiculous. You can't even keep a checkbook in order.
Nevertheless, darling, I've solved the money worries of this nation.
This ought to be good. Well, how'd you do it?
Well, do you remember when they were all in such a dither in Washington a few months ago?
Yes, I do. They were trying every conceivable plan to combat the Depression.
Well, they took one look at me and said, there's the answer. Inflation.
Will you be serious? My nerves are positively frayed right now.
Your nerves are frayed. That's fine. Now you have something to go with that collar you have on.
You know, dear, my collars are all wearing out at that.
Sure. You wore that one out last night by throwing back your head and saying, here's how.
You know, I feel kind of silly wearing frayed collars and riding around in that big car of ours.
Oh, honey, I forgot to tell you. A fellow complimented me on that car today. He said, that's a nice car you have, Miss Lavelle.
Did you thank him?
I'll say I did. I said, believe it or not, mister, we haven't spent a dime on that car in 2 years.
Well, that's the truth, we haven't. No. Was he properly impressed?
You don't know the half of it, darling. He said, I'll soon fix that. I'm from the finance company. And Mrs. Brown will now play Hallelujah.
Tizzy Lish, who thinks that a telephone pole is a switchboard operator in Warsaw. Tizzy Lish, please.
Hello, folkses and listeners. And if I may, I'd like to say hello to all of the admirers of the beautiful things in life, like myself. And speaking of admirers, I'd like to say that I had quite a close call today. A gentleman called me long distance and reversed the charges. I thought that was a pretty close call. In fact, it bordered a trifle on the stingy, if you know what I mean. But, of course, it didn't bother me much. As I'm so busy, I'm like the telephone girls. I have to keep plugging right along. And speaking of telephones, I'm being so annoyed with men folks as calling me on the phone, I was undecided whether to have my telephone taken out today, but the telephone company decided for me. You know what I mean. One gentleman called and said, is this Miss Lish? So I said, why, yes. He said, where are you going to be, about 8 o'clock tonight? So independent like I always am, I told him. So he said, that's fine, I'll be in San Francisco. I thought that was so cute. But I did receive a call yesterday from a gentleman asking me out to dine at one of the cafes. At first I wasn't going. Then I happened to think that I was one spoon short of a set, so I decided to go. My, what a time we had. I got real, will we say, hilarious, and started cutting up little didos and things. So one gentleman said, my, he said, you're quite a card, Tizzy. I could see he was getting a little fresh, so I said, I may be a card, but you can't play me. So he shuffled around. He could see I'd dealt him quite a blow. So to get even, he called me Auntie. So as his name was Jack, I gave him the deuce. So he packed up and left. My, I'm a regular vixen when I get going that way. So he called me a little spitfire. I can't remember whether he said the last part or not. But he could see that I wasn't to be tampered with. And now, folks, as we have a recipe that so many folks have asked me for, so many people have had difficulty getting light, fluffy dumplings. So we're going to have dumpy dumplings. Doesn't that sound goody? Are you ready? First, we use 3 cups of flour, 2 dozen yeast cakes, 1 cup of feathers... 2 light bulbs, and 1/2 pint nitroglycerine. Place on the stove, and when finished, folks, you really have like dumplings. In fact, you can tie sticks to them and serve them like balloons. And when your guests bite into them, there might be a slight noise on account of the nitroglycerin. But I'd like to say that I've heard some very good reports on my dumplings. Now, folks, I'm a scamper long, so I have to give some boys on the California crew a lesson on shad roe. So I'll leave you as the wrestlers always say at parting. Flop some and get some.
And next we turn to Minerva Eureka, the world's luckiest mortal. She puts a nickel in a payphone and wins 35 cents and a package of chewing gum. Minerva Eureka.
Salute! Do you want to know something?
Yes, tell me, Mrs. Pasquale. Have you any operators in your family?
Sure, you bet my life.
Oh, your sister?
No, my uncle's.
Oh, your uncle is an operator.
Sure, in the hospital.
Oh, I'm not talking about doctors. I'm talking about telephone operators.
Oh, you mean the girl in the hearsophone. You know what? You ask her the question and she says, none of your business, I thank you, please. Is that the one, huh?
Yes, or words to that effect.
You know, my cousin, she worked for that company.
Oh, for the telephone company?
Sure, and she's a rich, too.
Well, don't tell me that she got rich working for the telephone company.
Well, I don't know. She got a fur coat, some diamonds, a big automobile.
Well, maybe she's a gold digger.
No, she don't know that.
Well, do you know what a gold digger is?
Sure. Gold digs a lady what to wait till the husband he snore, and then she steal the money from his pants.
Well, whatever, how'd you find that out?
I do it every night.
Oh, I get it. Did your husband ever catch you?
Sure, he wake up one time and he say, what do you do, you know?
Well, and what did you say to him?
I tell him I wait for the streetcars.
Do you still steal from your husband's pockets?
No, no more.
Well, why is that?
He sleep with the pants on.
Well, not a bad idea, not a bad idea.
Say, Mr. Wilson, you know some gold digs ladies?
Well, I confess that I used to when I was a boy.
Was you a boy? I thought when you was born you was old man.
Oh, you think of the silliest things to say to me.
Well, when you're with the rummies, you gotta do as the rummies are doing.
Oh. Well, I never really believed in capital punishment till I met you.
No? Well, I don't give one a hang, no matter what you say.
Well, one hang would be plenty.
Why don't you try it?
Well, you're pretty fresh tonight.
You bet my life. I'm a fresh and healthy. I'm full of, how you say, vitamins A, B, C, D, and a can of tomatoes.
Say, by the way, how's your husband? How's your husband?
Are you spoiling my whole evening? That guy, you know, he's a cripple up. He's got rags on his hands and his head, you know, and he walk on the crutches, you know?
Crippled on crutches. Well,
yeah.
Don't you feel sorry for him?
I should say not. He'd give me a black eye, you know?
Don't tell me, Mrs. Pasquale, that your husband is as badly crippled as that he could give you a black eye.
Well, before he give me the black eye, he was no cripple yet.
Oh, I get it. Minerva Eureka thinks the telephone operator's song is Dial Be a Hot Time in the Old Town Tonight. But now the mirth parade is all over and out. This is Don Wilson saying goodbye, and remember, we'll be back with you soon.